Hey, sports fans, it's world champion Andy Gepper, Mike North. Punch this number in your phone right now. If you're driving, pull over. 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419 for a free pick and info for the premier handicapping site in the country, Vegas Scores and Odds.com. It's the only site you'll ever need with expert handicappers like John Anthony, Denny Macklin, Tony Sacco, Ray Monahan, yours truly, and many more. Check out the homepage of Vegas Scores and Odds.com for a tote board with your buddy. Follow Vegas Scores and Odds on Twitter and dial up 1-800-808-3419. It's 1-800-808-3419, 1-800-808-3419, or go to VegasScoresandOdds.com.
Hey, what's going on, Barroom? It's Cars here for this week's installment of Cars Keys against the, as I kept saying in the Shy Fan in the Stands podcast, the San Diego Chargers. But I digress.
Cars Keys is hosted and written by Matthew Carstensen, produced by Matt Carstensen and Aldo Gandia, and is intended for all audiences.
Look at this game against San Diego. I started to put numbers together. I started to do kind of some of my normal thing. And when I stopped doing that, I just rewatched every offensive snap this season over the last couple days. There was a heavy focus this last week, and so I did more of that than numbers. There are a few numbers that I'm going to throw out real quick, but let's be honest. I could give you 6 keys, 7 keys, 8 keys. I can give you 100 keys, but realistically, the only one that's going to matter for this week and for the rest of the season, and most likely for the next 2 to 3 seasons, it is going to be Mitch and the offense. So that's my key. We'll talk about that in a second. But as all of us know, the Chargers are a cursed franchise, both with injuries and just, you know, playing in a soccer stadium that nobody wants to play in. As we kind of look through, you know, what's going on at 2-5 and with the Melvin Gordon situation, and God, is he awful.
Gordon coming into this one, averaging just 2.5 yards per carry. Certainly a product of maybe having to shake the rust off, but also an offensive line that is trying to find itself again in the rush attack.
You know, league offense, they're 25th. They're very solid defensively in a pass rush, but they've been getting kind of beaten up everywhere else on the defensive side, right? They are they're ranked 21st against the run. They're 21st against the pass. They are 10th in scoring defense, right? But they're just allowing chunks of yards.
Tannehill under center, I formation, rolling to his right and throwing to his right. Has a receiver wide open, breaking all the way down to the 20 is Fursker, the tight end, Egbule with the tackle. This drive now, 8 plays, 63 yards. That one goes for 27.
So this should be a game where the offense should do some things. As you can see, I'm having a super hard time saying that for what I think is the only offense in the NFL to yet to have a 300-yard of offense game. We came close against Washington, but we haven't really done much of anything. A few things that I just want to call out, and forgive me for continuing to repeat the phrase call out, but you know, Phil Rivers is starting to show his age a little bit. He's not as accurate as he was in the past downfield. I was kind of shocked to see that he only has 11 touchdowns this year in 7 games. That feels very unlike him. You know, 4 of those are to Eckler, who is by far the biggest cog in the wheel. But we do have some mismatch issues in the secondary with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. I do not like the matchup of Prince against either of those two. Obviously, you know, I wish that Fuller would be kind of trailing Keenan Allen, but I know that's not how they roll. But those two guys have 5 of the 11 touchdowns. Eckler has 4, and then basically Melvin Gordon and Pope have the others. So, you know, what you're seeing is really just a team that I think, again, A, just catching up to Phillip Rivers. He never had a cannon of an arm, with his, especially with his oddball delivery, but I feel like that's even more impactful, and it's hard to remember sometimes that he is a 38-year-old quarterback. He hasn't taken necessarily the pounding that Ben Roethlisberger has, but you know, he's still doesn't have the build that that Ben has as well, so it does make things a little bit more difficult.
And now Rivers has a fumble and a pick in two of his first three series.
You know, we're seeing a little bit of a drop in average air yards and attempt for him. We're seeing kind of the lowest, so far at least, QB rating since I think it's like 2015 or 16. You know, so we're seeing a decline there overall, but they're still getting 300 yards a game. And obviously, right, that's Eckler, that's Mike Williams, and that's that Keenan Allen guy that is pretty good. From a numbers standpoint, look, this is a game that we should win. I'm tired of saying that. And so I figured today, just to go down the rat hole that I started a little bit in Shy Fan in the Stands, where we talk about the offense. This is the only key, right? You could see from the reactions of the receivers who are tired of being missed on the field. You could see it in the way that the defense isn't hanging around to try to, you know, answer for what's happening. You know, there's the defense and some of these other players that just haven't developed or gone the way that we hoped. And so much of this is pointing to a complete dissatisfaction with the offense on everybody. And one of the questions that they asked me in Shy Fans is, you know, where do you put the blame? And, you know, Brian Baldinger called out a play, you know, run play, and said, like, this sort of stuff doesn't help. Well, that same play got accolades last year, and I'll circle back to that. There's no doubt, though, that in any of these things, Matt Nagy plays a role. But it's a chicken or the egg situation. Or, you know, depending on who you talk to as Bear fans, it's a glass half full, a glass half empty. The issue for me is, are the play calls limiting Mitch Trubisky, or is Mitch Trubisky limiting the play calls? That's really the only two ways to look at it. And while there are always questions about play calls, one of the things I keep hearing is there's, you know, Sage Rosenfeld said it, Orlovsky kind of hinted at it. The biggest negative that everybody has about the play calling is, where's the rhythm? These plays don't make sense. And we've always heard Nagy say, you know, I want to stack plays on top of plays on top of plays. But what's happening, I think, is more been predicated on the mental clock in Mitch's head. And I think part of the reason we're not seeing the flow, early on it was not all Mitch, right? We always saw that we'd make some progress and then there'd be an offensive line penalty or two penalties, or, you know, felt like six penalties in a row, and we'd be in 3-40 situations. And so that makes it hard to stack plays when consistently you aren't getting the line play that you wanted. And then a little bit later, there was an occasional drop here or there, right? And those are always very critical, you know, in the ways that those can impact the way the play is called. And when we had kind of two of those last week with Allen Robinson, one which was he didn't get that second foot down, which, candidly, that's a tough spin move to make, but he could have made it. And the other one where he just couldn't hold on to the ball when his hands hit the ground. You know, those things impact play calls. But as you saw in some of what I diagrammed this week on Twitter, is just a couple of quick plays where Mitch is just not reading the field. Mitch isn't seeing things. You know, you heard it today in his press conference when he talked about the RPO and you know, how the correct read was probably run. But if he didn't let it run, the correct read wasn't even to the side he was looking on. I've heard multiple people from, you know, Dan Durkin to several other pundits just keep saying, you know, Mitch is skipping progressions. There's only one wide receiver he currently feels comfortable with, and that is Allen Robinson. And I hate drawing, you know, lines, but it was always like with Jay Cutler, right? If Brandon Marshall was on the field, that's where he was going. When we got rid of Marshall, he was going to wherever Alshon was, right? These quarterbacks that may not have, you know, might not be the top 10 type of guy, they recognize a good player that can sometimes make them look better, and they keep going to that well. And it's coming at the expense of the offense. You know, Trey Burton doesn't have any numbers this year, and some of that is definitely due to injury. But if you watch that game, there are two or three plays where he's actually leaking out with no coverage whatsoever or linebacker coverage that he's got to step on, and Mitch is already throwing the ball, right? And we see this in the disappointment in the defensive lineman's face, right? We know that our defense is getting frustrated. We see that the offense is getting frustrated because there are guys that are open. There are guys that are open that Mitch is just frankly missing. And that's all that matters. So while I do think, you know, that play calling plays a part, you know, the play that Brian Baldinger called out this past week was that opening run play and the window dressing. Please know that this was a play last year that got the Bears accolades because it was stacking plays on plays. And what I mean by that, there are three different options to that play. You know, we always see the Taylor Gabriel jet sweep. But the other portion that we need to remember is Trey Burton coming across. That play also in the past has been a quick pitch to Trey, right? It's a pseudo run game. So a Mitch can either take the handoff, he can flick it to Trey for a quick hit, or he could hit the running back. If James Daniels doesn't mess up with Cody Whitehair and push him off a block, that play works and is a big play. And that's the way the run game would have worked. If this game started off with a 9 or 10 yard run play like that could have been, none of this other stuff matters. Anyway, I kind of going off in a little bit of a tangent there. But what we saw, you know, especially in the plays, is he's looking at Allen, he's locking that side down, and he's not looking at the other guys. You know, the very first third down play that I diagrammed, Taylor Gabriel was open all day. That would have been a massive gain. A few possessions later, that Trey Burton, when he had gotten a step on the linebacker, Mitch was already dumping it off. There's no way that Tariq Cohen was an earlier read than Burton. What's happening, and I don't know why, is that his clock is off and his mechanics are garbage. And Mitch is someone who, to be the most accurate quarterback he can, has to have the right mechanics. And none of that's going to happen until the game slows down. So here are, in kind of an order, and you heard me talk a little bit about it, but here are the keys to the offense, to me, and to how you slow this down. The game down for Mitch, excuse me. Now, I obviously don't have a whole lot of faith that they're going to do this after Nagy said it's, you know, basically the offense is going to be basically what we've seen, because you just can't change it at this point in time, which I think is a either just, you know, false narrative that he's just trying to throw people off, or he's really thinking that that's what you do. But first and foremost is you've got to have Mitch under center a little bit. I know you like him from the shotgun because he could see everything better. I know that you can see you like him there because maybe he can diagnose. But I think that lack of effort from him to get into the position to throw, right? If I could just take that snap and already be in a place to throw, I'm bouncing and my mechanics are terrible. A 3, 5, 7 foot drop is going to make Mitch think about his feet, think about taking that step back, and being in the right place to deliver. By taking ball from under center, we then can actually maybe start to leverage a play action. Now, there's a lot out there about us being an RPO offense, and we for sure are, right? And I don't think there's a problem with that as an offense. The problem has been, you know, even in several different RPO plays, right? Opposing teams don't feel threatened at all by the run. So what do we have to do? We have to make every play a threat. And the RPO, you know, if he's going to get RPO reads wrong to begin with, then it doesn't matter. So step one, under center, leading to more play action. Two is there has to be an increased focus on the tight end. Now, I know that we're, you know, I've gone on record as saying that Adam Shaheen, we basically have to push down as a bust. And Trey Burton is not going to be worth the money that we're paying him, but he's so important to this offense. Mitch last year, especially early, used him as a blanket, and now he's completely gone away from him. So this has to be a game where the tight ends show. We need, I don't care if it's Broniker or anybody else either, someone's got to be on the field, and that they have to be more of a threat. You know, right now, I pointed out last week, but A.J. Klein has no business trying to match up with Trey Burton one-on-one, especially on a deep route. And if we can't take advantage of it, you know, that's a shame on us. And that's really some of the other stuff that's impacting the run game and the play call is when Trey's out there. Let's be honest, he's not the best blocker. But right now, they don't even have to leave a safety to cover him. If I could leave my slowest linebacker to cover him, knowing that our quarterback isn't going to challenge, then that's a win for any defense. Last, the third and probably the most troubling thing to say is, fuck it, go deep. Let's go all Rex Grossman. Let's go all Cade McNown. And that's obviously said a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but if I throw the ball 54 times in a game and 40 of those are shorter than 10 yards, that's just not going to cut it. I can't go 4 of 14 over 10 yards. I can't be the least accurate quarterback in pass plays that travel over 20 yards. These things can't happen. So what do I need to do? I need to start to take shots. I need to go deep. I need to look for Anthony Miller. I need to look for Taylor Gabriel. You know, I need Cohen to go on a wheel route that with a proper linebacker that he could just toast deep, right? Mitch, you have to stop the dump off. I love Allen Robinson. Bears fans love Allen Robinson. But if you want to use him as a decoy with a whole bunch of underneath stuff so that you could send Miller and Gabriel over the top, then do it. I'm tired of this rinky-dink offense. You have to go deep. My three key players to the game, Mitch, Mitch, and Mitch. Right? The three matchups that I can't wait to see, Mitch versus the defensive line, Mitch versus the linebackers, Mitch versus the defensive backs. I think we're noticing a pattern here. You know, he seemed a little better in his press conference today, but, you know, we can't coddle him anymore. We can't protect him. This is the equivalent of, you know, your baby's off at college now and you've got to step away and let them figure shit out. Mitch, it's time to figure some shit out. I still think that this is a game that we should win, but I've heard some people say like 20 plus points. Absolutely not. If the Bears are going to win, it's going to be like 17-16 or 16-14 or some craziness like that. But we need to see progress, because if this game is lost and we look on offense like we did last week, sadly for us Bear fans, you have to start to wonder, are we 2 years away from being able to draft a proper replacement? So that's it for Cars Keys. I know this isn't a numbers thing. I know we've talked a lot about plays, but this is, I don't even know what else to say. I can make up all the numbers, but let's be real, as Bears fans, we all know that this game and this season rests on Mitch's shoulders, and that's probably going to be determined this Sunday. Thanks for listening. As always, I enjoy our interactions on Twitter. You can follow me at CarsKey1. But otherwise, guys, we'll talk later during the week.